Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of Mobile Podcast. Mobile Podcast gives you exclusive insights into the major public interest issues affecting the mobile telecommunications industry. I'm your host, Simon Clark, and in this first part of a special two-part edition, we'll speak with Motorola's chief EME scientist, Dr. Chung Kwang Cho, about developments in China, his views on the international radio frequency safety standards, and we'll discuss the relationship between researchers and the media. Dr. Chung Kwang Cho, or CK Cho as he is best known, is currently Chief EME Scientist and Director of the Corporate EME Research Laboratory at Motorola Laboratories in the United States, where he's responsible for radio frequency product safety. Dr. Cho's impressive career includes postings at the University of Washington and the City of Hope National Medical Center, where he conducted research using RF energy to treat cancer. His research achievements and his efforts in creating and promoting international RF safety standards earned Dr. Cho the prestigious honour of receiving the Bioelectromagnetic Society's Darsenval Award in 2006. CK's contribution to the understanding of RF biological effects is vast, with more than 190 peer-reviewed research papers and book chapters. Mobile Podcast is honoured to have Dr. CK Cho as our guest. I spoke earlier with Dr. Cho by telephone from his office at Motorola Laboratories in Florida. So, if I can, Dr. Cho, or CK, as we should perhaps address you more informally, first, can I say welcome to the program, and it's great to have you speaking with us.
Thank you, Simon. I'm glad to participate.
If we can first perhaps begin with your position at Motorola. As the chief EME scientist there, what does your job entail?
Well, let me first explain what the EME means. EME stands for electromagnetic energy. That's including radio frequency and microwave signals that are emitted by the mobile phones, two-way radios, and other wireless devices. So my job is to lead a research team that is responsive and responsible to Motorola customers and employees on the safety issues of wireless communication devices. So I manage a program on the RF measurement and the compliance testing research. In addition, I and my staff, we participate in international standard-setting activities and monitor external biological research programs provided by the MMF, the GSMA, and other organizations. Working with the our Motorola business and the government relations teams, we ensure that Motorola meets its overall responsibilities relating to the RF science, the standards, and of the product stewardship.
Okay, and as I understand it, China is of particular interest to you. Can you tell us about your participation in radio frequency meetings in China and what is the current status of the Chinese radio frequency safety standards?
Yes, as a Chinese myself, my research experience and my involvement with the IEEE standards for many years and now a corporate scientist, I'm well positioned to help China as their deliberations on the safety, RF safety issue. So since I joined Motorola in 1998, I helped the World Health Organization to organize the first harmonization meeting on the electromagnetic fields in Beijing. That was in 1999, to encourage our Chinese scientists and regulators to interact with the international scientists. So I have attended so many years all the meetings, which are held every two years in China. Since the first harmonization meeting, WHO has been encouraging China to adopt this so-called International Commission on Non-Ionizing Radiation Protection. That means ICNIRP. I will use this for the future references. The ICNRP limit, that have been adopted by more than 40 countries around the world. So in all these meetings in China, I have been representing the IEEE to promote to harmonize the limits. And currently, China has three national standards on the RF limits that were published all about 20 years ago now. But they are all very different from the standards adopted by other countries. Because of the exponential increase in mobile phone use in China, the government decided to draft a mobile phone standard first. So it took several years to finalize the mobile phone standard, which has been actually announced recently, but to be effective on August 1st this year. The Chinese limit actually is the same as the ICNIRP and also the new IEEE limit, which is 2 watts per kilogram per 10 gram average for the general public. The next step is they will develop a new standard on the environmental exposure, such as from the base stations. So although there appear to be many differences in opinion among the various government ministries, but I'm hopeful that these differences will be resolved in favor of a scientifically sound and harmonized standard.
It's important, isn't it, that similar standards should apply in all markets? I mean, we're dealing with people wherever they are.
Yes, I think it's the harmonization is very, very important because this now with the WTO, everything is globally connected. So we should be a harmonized standard around the world. That should be the high priority for this going forward.
While we're talking about China, Chinese researchers have mainly published papers showing the effects of radio frequency exposure, and sometimes this differs with the findings in Western scientific literature showing no effects unless very high levels of exposure are used. Are there reasons for this difference?
Well, in the 2001, the two WHO meeting in Xi'an, that's where they buried, they have the terracottas. And it's one senior Chinese researcher told the audience that the only papers showing effects were allowed to be presented in meetings and accepted for publications. And Dr. Michael Robicholi, that time was the head of the WHO International Project on Electromagnetic Fields, and he expressed the concerns about this practice because it will result in a biased database. But at more recent meetings in China, which I attended, such as the 2005 and 2007, I learned that the studies showing no adverse effects are also being accepted for presentation and for publication. So this is really a good outcome of the international meetings because now it provides more balanced scientific information for the Chinese public health policymakers to make a new standard.
And can the general public be assured that, like is now looking likely to happen in China, that in the West, both sides of the scientific picture are presented?
Well, currently, it will take China some time to migrate from the old practice they have been doing. So in the future, it will take some time. But in the meantime, in the Western literature, they are publishing both whatever, they submitted. If they surpass the review process, they can be accepted and considered and also accepted by the journals. So with this, continue to build up the database, everything have to be, papers have to be evaluated and based on the weight of evidence approach to look at the whole database. And that's the two international standard setting committees are doing this way to set the standard based on the weight of evidence approach.
And this is really the topic of risk communication, in a sense, that we're talking about here, isn't it? In your opinion, is it important, do you think, that the public should be informed about all the research results on a particular topic?
Yes, I think this is, for scientifically, this should be the case. But the trouble is usually with the media reporting and the ones have this strange, very a sensational type of information will get to the news more than the ones that don't really show any striking effects or no effect type thing will have a less opportunity to get exposed. So in terms of the scientific evaluation, we have to be on the base on a overall weight of evidence instead of a selective type of spotlight exposures. That will mislead the audience to the wrong conclusion.
You mentioned media reporting of scientific findings. You've also talked about public electrophobia in the past. What are the relative responsibilities of the media and the scientists who provide information? Whose obligation is it to make sure that the information that gets into the media and therefore to the general public is verified and provides a true picture of the outcomes of research?
I think the first thing is the scientists should be responsible to bring the verified, the robust information to the media and not to mislead the media to publish something premature and to cause electrophobia. And the electrophobia can cause an effect called nocebo effect. Nocebo effect is the opposite of placebo effect. That means nocebo means if you believe something can harm you, it will harm you. That's something we should not, people should be responsible for, not to cause people have nocebo effect.
Finally, if we could, you've conducted research on mobile phone shields and other products designed to shield against RF energy. Are these products effective?
No, they are not useful. We did a study on shields and published our results in 2003 in the Bioelectromagnetic Journal. We tested 9 shields. None were effective. If a shield is big, it can be attached to the phone, it will change the radiation pattern and affect the communication ability of the phone, resulting in an increase in power consumption and reduced battery life. It is like covering the mouse and doing talking. Since all mobile phone models are tested to be within the compliance limit, the use of a shield does not enhance any safety. So buying any shield for mobile phone is a waste of money.
Well, CK, we've covered a lot of topics and a lot of ground, and it's been a real pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Mobile Podcast.
It's my pleasure, and thank you for your efforts.
Mobile Podcast would like to thank Dr. Cho for taking his time to appear on our program. We'd also like to thank you for listening and hope you enjoyed the 5th episode produced in March 2008. Mobile Podcast will be available for download regularly at www.mmfai.org/mobile podcast or www.gsmworld.com/health. Mobile Podcast is made available for download by the Mobile Manufacturers Forum and the GSM Association. The information contained on this podcast is provided for general information purposes only and does not purport to offer legal, health or any other professional advice. Where reference is made to a company or a specific commercial product or service, howsoever referred, no endorsement or recommendation is implied or intended. The views expressed are those of the speakers alone and do not necessarily represent those of the Mobile Manufacturers Forum or GSM Association. All guests have volunteered their time to help promote an open discussion of the issues addressed.